the Book of the Week.
Good morning, I'm Magic Matt, and Patrick's just caught me moving his records around. What can you say about that? Sorry, Patrick. It's that time of the week again. It's time for the Portsmouth Authors Collected Book Club, and I've got with me the one and only Laurie Westron, who's going to be talking to Colin Crowe today about his fantastic history books, which is all written in verse, which is something I'd never heard of before. So, over to you, Laurie.
C.S. Crowe is the author of a series of history books written in verse, from the Roman Empire to both World Wars. He offers a free PDF of his books to schools, and his book on World War I has been used by over 300 schools nationwide. Responses from teachers have been very positive, saying his books have made a real difference in the classroom. And today we're going to be talking about his book, Kings and Queens of England and Britain. Not many nations can boast of having had such a long succession of kings and queens than England can. Once the last Roman legion had left, the British Isles became fair game for the raiders from across the sea, Germanic tribes who saw an opportunity. Ultimately, the Saxons won the contest, and so began the list of names of those who styled themselves as king and queen. So, Colin, welcome. It's really nice to have you in the studio, and I'm really intrigued to learn more about your books and about the research that goes into them. So, first of all, we were talking before, you've written something like 15 plus books?
That's right, yes. It's one of those things where you just keep on going, really. You can't stop myself.
There's a lot of history to cover.
There's a lot of history to cover, yes. And it's been going for millennia, really. I mean, ever since the Romans left in 410 AD, there's been a big fight on there for who's going to wear that crown. So lots to choose from, lots of eras, and lots of fun on the way as well.
Wonderful. So, Colin, I guess let's start out maybe talking a little bit about why you've chosen to write a book about British monarchs, and also why in verse.
Oh, goodness, yes. I remember a long time ago I saw a ruler. No pun intended there. Something to draw lines with, right? And it had it had lots of kings and queens on there. And also, quite recently, someone bought us for Christmas a cup with the kings and queens on it. It was amazing, right? I thought it was fantastic. And I know that a lot of people struggle with who followed who came when, and when that person ruled and when that person didn't rule and all this. And so I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I want to put together a book of all the kings and queens from when the Romans left up to our own dear King Charles III, and also with a view to helping people understand history better. By doing it in verse, it helps people remember it, because poetry is like a song without the music. It has a tempo, it has a rhyme.
Yeah.
And it makes it far more entertaining and interesting if you've got a whole lot of facts, which people would normally sort of say, look at and go, oh dear, look at those dates in there, those facts. If it's done like a song without the music, with the tempo and the rhyme. And the feedback from the schools has been amazing with regards to that, because children are just suddenly picking up and saying, wow, this is interesting. History is actually interesting.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell me a little bit about your research process, because, you know, you're covering a lot of ground here. Oh, yes. Where did you start and how did you go about it?
Research is key, because it's very easy to go into any project you're writing on history and then pick up the first resource you find and say, oh, I'll paraphrase that or I'll use that. Well, in actual fact, it might be really, really bad. So I've been a student of history for 50 years. So I've read a lot of books on history. And so some of the subjects, the topics that I've read on history have been written about by several authors. And if you find those facts corroborate each other, then you know that you're onto a good seam of truth there, which is really important. The truth is really important in history. And so getting your facts right, corroborating it, picking the key sources is paramount, because once it's down, written down like that, it'd be very easy for someone to pick it up and read it. And if it's wrong, then they've got the wrong information, misinformation. Yes. So, research is paramount.
Wonderful. We'll play a song and come back and we'll talk a bit more.
Sure. You are the sunshine.
And we're back with Colin Crowd, who has written a series of books. Today we've been talking about the kings and queens of England and Britain, which are written in verse. Colin, as we mentioned earlier, you're quite prolific. You've written at least 15 books. Do you have a favourite?
Oh, yes. Now, my favourite, I think, is the one on the Romans. I've always had a passion for ancient Rome, the emperors, and all the goings on they had in the past there, and also because the empire was so vast and lasted for so long. And once you read about some of the emperors, and not all the bad ones, there are some really good ones, although the bad ones, some might say, are more fun. because of, you know, we look back and it's, oh my goodness, did they really do that? But then you come along some emperors like Hadrian, obviously mm-hmm. built the wall, mm-hmm. right? But also he toured the entire empire to make sure everything was fine. He didn't just stay in Rome, he went to see the people, right? And then another guy, very little known, called Septimius Severus. That's a good one. That's a good name. Mm. That's a good Roman name, isn't it, really? and he brought peace into the empire because there was a lot of instability there. And he actually sacked the Praetorian Guard. Now, not every emperor can say that they sacked the Praetorian Guard. It's amazing. And, of course, there's the culture. The food was good. Yes, if you were a Roman citizen, even a slave, you could live in relative peace and tranquility all your life, because it wasn't war and stuff. It was on that was somewhere else. That was on the frontier somewhere. So yeah, the Roman Empire, the Book of the Roman Emperors is my favourite, I think.
Okay.
Really.
Okay, oh, wonderful. You've mentioned earlier that all of your books are offered to schools as a PDF.
Yes, it's all my history prose mm-hmm. Is offered as a free PDF to any school or teacher that wants to have a copy.
Amazing.
And I've given several titles to various schools, and I say the First World War one was really, really successful. But I think I sent that one out at a time when they were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the armistice. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. a lot of schools picked up on that. If there's any school or teacher who thinks, wow, this could be a real game changer in the class, and they really are making a difference, I've been told that, then, you know, they need to contact
Wonderful.
Me.
Yeah, fantastic. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, your particular interest in history. What is it that, you know, really captivates you?
Oh, yes. I think it's because there are so many varying characters and varying events in the past, where some person has made a decision to go that way and it's changed a continent. Another person decided to do this and it's had cataclysmic events. Mm-hmm. It's the interaction between people and how that interaction with people can change events. I mean, we are where we are today because of what's happened in the past.
Absolutely.
And people have made the decision, and then we've taken that path there. And we didn't necessarily, it wasn't for a preordained that we were going to be on this path. We could have gone down a different path, mm-hmm. which would have been who knows what. But those people who were making the decisions, it could have been a battle, it could have been a political decision, it could have been an economic decision, they've changed the whole setup, if you like, of human civilization, and made things progress and deviate and arrive at a place where we today say, you know, aren't we lucky? We've got so much. But it need not necessarily have been that way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I write historical fiction. It's that's the thing that I'm interested in is those connections and how we are where we are today because of things that happened in the
Absolutely.
Past.
Absolutely. It's connections. You can imagine if the Roman Empire hadn't deteriorated and it stayed on for centuries more. How would that have changed all of Europe or the world, perhaps, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the Renaissance, if people hadn't, if the East, if Islam hadn't helped to keep all that information that was that was gained by the Greeks and the Romans, and then fed it through during the trade routes and passing of information, the Renaissance would not have been born.
Right.
Because a lot of early Christianity were destroying some of those old texts and stuff. Because they were pagan.
Of course. And yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. This is really fascinating stuff. And I could sit here all day talking to you, Colin. How can people access your books? Where can they get hold of them?
I have a Facebook page. I've also got an email address, which is historic.prose@gmail.com. There's an Amazon page. If we look under CS Crowd, you'll see all my titles there. And I do try and keep the prices really low, you know, because history should be something that everyone looks into, because it's very important.
Colin, it's been wonderful talking to you today. Lovely to see you. And you have chosen an ABBA song.
I have, yes.
To play us out.
From the film, there's one, I think it's on the other, on the B-side. It's called, it's not even the last song, it's called Move On. A lot of harmonies. As the late, great Terry Wogan used to say, they never did a bad song.
Welcome back to Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club. God, I'll tell you what, I feel brainier already listening to that author. What an interesting guy. But looking back at last week, we were talking about agents. We were talking about finding an agent. We looked at what they sort of do, where to start when you're looking for one. But what sort of follows that?
So last week I mentioned a couple of databases, Query Tracker and Jericho Writers, and those databases contain literary agents primarily from the UK and the US. Mm. And so, you know, the first thing really to do is to look for agents who represent your particular genre.
Right,
so,
yeah.
You know, Colin's writing historical fiction. So he would input historical fiction in the little menu, and then those agents would pop up.
Yeah, so the databases are all organized that to make it easy to find the kind of agent you're looking for.
Yeah. And then to do a little bit of research about each of those agents to, you know, find out more about the type of books that they represent, the authors they represent, their particular interests.
Yeah, and avoid ones that want payment up front. So, yeah,
absolutely. We would never pay an agent. Agent and all of the agents on these databases would be legit, so they wouldn't be asking for money up front.
Excellent.
So yes,
that's useful to know.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. If ever you get people contacting you on Facebook offering to market your book or edit your book or represent your book,
I think I'll stick to the ones in the database.
be very, very cautious. So yeah, you need to do your research and, you know, find out the sort of things that they are looking for.
Okay, so you found your agent, you sort of know who you want to use, but how do you actually go about approaching them?
You need to write them a query letter, and that will contain a sort of pitch about your book, that, you know, something that encapsulates what your book is about. And, you know, a good query letter really needs to entertain. It needs to, you know, hook them in and get them interested in your book and asking for chapters of your manuscript.
Right. So would you be sort of looking to summarize the book when you do that then?
No, you don't want to give them a full summary. So it's not a synopsis that you're writing here in the query, although some agents will ask for a synopsis, but you're just really wanting to give them that hook. So we're talking about a very brief piece of writing. So most query letters are advised to keep within 300 words. So that's, you know, quite short. Certain genres can go a little bit longer because they may have something that is more complex that they need to describe. But yes, you're wanting to keep it quite short.
You'd still tell them about the characters in the book?
You would basically be giving them the main characters and the main conflict, you know. So what is it those characters want? What's stopping them from getting it? What is at stake?
Right. So it really is not so much a synopsis, it's more of a pitch.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's a pitch, yes.
So is there anything else you would include? Anything else to tell them?
Yeah, so, you know, one thing that agents like is comparison titles, so comp titles. So comp titles are books that are similar to yours in some way. It might be that they have a similar theme, or that their characters go on a similar journey, or that maybe the setting is similar. So, you know, I have chosen as one of my comp titles a book called The Watchman by Louise Erdrich.
Okay.
And it's all about finding books that your agent will recognize that are selling well, and that are fairly recent. So the advice is to choose comp titles that are within the last 2 years. So they're around, and your agent can, you know, he knows what...
Right, so it shows that you're current and you know what's been published as much as...
Absolutely, yeah,
as well,
that's
what
right.
You're looking to publish yourself.
That's right.
Brilliant, okay.
And also, they want to know a little bit about you, so include a brief paragraph about yourself and your credentials and any publishing history that you might have.
Right, again, so sell yourself on that, same as you would if you were going for a job interview and that sort
definitely.
Of thing.
Definitely, yep,
right.
Yep.
Right, great. So how easy is it to get an agent?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? I've heard people say that it's more difficult to get a literary agent than it is to actually get a publisher.
Right, okay.
So, yes, I think the key here, as with everything, is perseverance. So, you know, if you send your query out to half a dozen agents and you don't get any response or don't get any invitations to send in your manuscript, then go back, revise your query, look to see if there's anything that you could strengthen or add in, and then send your query out again.
And persevere with it.
You're absolutely.
Get rejections. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think it's really important for people to know that they will get rejections, and that's okay. Everybody gets them. It's persevering until you find the right agent for your book.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much for that. Time's cracking on, so I think we'll stop for a little bit of music, and then we'll come back and perhaps chat about what's happening in the local area.
Well, bless my...
Welcome back to the final part of this week's book club. We're chatting with Laurie Westron at the moment. I'm Magic Matt, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the local area. And I believe there's Bookfest coming up, which sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's starting on the 18th of February.
Not long now.
That's
Victory's birthday, you know.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah. Well, there we go. A double reason to celebrate.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the first week of Bookfest is all about children. And there's lots of activities and events for kids. And the first one that I've got on my list is The Tiger Who Came to Tea.
Ooh.
And so... kids can come along and hear Judith Kerr's classic children's story read by library staff, and they can take part in a tea party and meet the tiger himself. So that event is suitable for children ages 2 to 10. That will take place at the Portsmouth Central Library at 11 o'clock on the 18th of February, Portsea Library on the same day at 3:30, and then Wednesday and Thursday at various libraries around the city. So, you know, people can look at the website to get those dates. But that's a good event for children.
That one sounds
children.
Like fun, I must admit.
Absolutely.
It's a shame that's only for kids, that one.
Absolutely.
You know?
And on the 21st of February, Friday, at 10 o'clock at the Portsmouth Guild Hall, there's a workshop for 11 to 16-year-olds that explores the world of stories and poetry through music and soundscapes.
Ooh.
Yes, this sounds really good, doesn't it? It's a workshop where children will have the opportunity to record a part of a story or a poem, create a soundscape, and then learn how to edit everything together. So You know, those
that
children.
That sounds great. Yeah.
Those children might be sitting here in this studio one
know.
Day. Absolutely. So there are lots of different creative writing workshops and events, readings, all aimed at children, starting from the 18th of February.
Fantastic.
And so I would recommend people either to pop into the local library, wherever you are, and pick up one of the BookFest booklets that gives the full program, or check out the website.
Yeah, I see you've got a leaflet there. So those are available in all the local libraries. And
absolutely, yeah. And if people want to look at it online, all they need to do is to Google Portsmouth BookFest, and they will get a full listing of all of the activities that are taking place.
Absolutely. And of course, we'll be listing it in our WhatsApp on page on the Victory website as well.
Of course.
So that just brings us back to the Portsmouth Authors Collective Facebook page then. And I also notice there's a few holes in the diary. We seem to have a few spaces for local authors if they want to come in and chat on the radio.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm always looking for people to come in to be interviewed. So, you know, everyone is welcome. If you've not been part of the collective so far, then all you need to do is to contact me either from the Facebook page or by emailing me at portsmouthauthorscollective@gmail.com. Tell me a little bit about yourself. The one proviso is that I do ask that people who come in get involved in the collective and join in the spirit of which is to share and promote one another's books. So, you know, people are invited.
And an opportunity not to be missed.
Absolutely.
I mean, how often
yep.
do you get potentially
Absolutely.
Thousands it's, of people being, you know, listening to you talk about your book?
It's free publicity. I keep trying to emphasize this. It's free publicity. And so, you know, people are invited to promote their books on our Facebook page, and we will encourage our members to share those book announcements and book blurbs to their network of friends. So, you know, do take advantage of that, and by all means, give me a shout, and we'll sign you up for an interview.
And it's a collective, so it's as good as everybody when they work together.
Absolutely.
The more you work together, the better it gets.
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about spreading the word about our books, so we need to work together to get the word out there.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much. I think we've run out of time, unfortunately. I look forward to talking to you again next week. And I'll hand back to Patrick now, who's going to play some fantastic tunes again.